This morning, we return to our Lord's beautiful classroom, to the natural amphitheater he created on the mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And once again, we sit at the feet of the master teacher as he continues to instruct us. Last week, our Lord began his lesson by teaching us the eight Beatitudes, the summary of the whole Sermon on the Mount and the heart of the entire Gospel. In today's Gospel, Jesus uses a powerful teaching technique, metaphor. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You remember from Catholic school grammar when Sister Mary Hildegundis taught you about the difference between metaphor and simile. Metaphors simply state a comparison using a form of the verb to be, whereas similes use words like or as to compare things. So, life is like a box of chocolates. Or, my new nephew is as cute as a button. Those are similes. But, my life is an open book. Or, you're a firework. Those are metaphors. Jesus doesn't use similes. He uses metaphors. Jesus doesn't say you are like the salt of the earth or that the Christian is like a lamp on a lampstand. Jesus says you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. This is a brilliant teaching technique, the use of metaphor. Father Fabian, my Dominican professor, always used to say that teachers are always trying to lead you from what you do know to what you don't know on the basis of what you do know. In other words, teachers use metaphors, comparisons, things we do know to lead us to something we don't know. Last week, on February 2nd, the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord in the Temple, when Simeon said that Jesus was a light of revelation to the Gentiles, I spent great length talking about the metaphor of light and how we are the light of the world. We also focus on this theme at the Easter Vigil. So today, I would like to take a closer look at salt, which we don't often reflect upon. In order to understand this metaphor, we have to review what salt is used for. So this is the list that I came up with. Perhaps you know some other things that salt is used for, which I'm sure you can let me know after Mass, and then I'll include it in the next Mass. So this is what I came up with. We know that salt adds flavor to food. Jesus mentions that, about flavoring things. So salt adds flavor to food. Salt is a preservative. It preserves food from spoiling, right? In these winter days, we use a lot of salt, don't we? On our roads and sidewalks, because salt melts ice. And going along those lines, I just added about 50 pounds of salt to my water softener, which softens my hard water. And also during these winter days, when you're not feeling very well, Grandma tells you to gargle with salt, because salt has healing properties. Those are the ones I came up with. Maybe you can come up with more uses for salt. I also wanted to reflect on the use of salt in the Bible. And the salt has some very specific passages about salt. There's passages all over the Bible, like in Ezekiel 34. Bring an unblemished young bull and an unblemished ram from the flock and present them before the Lord, and the priest shall sprinkle salt on them and offer them to the Lord. Interesting. It's in Leviticus chapter 2. God says, you will put salt on every cereal offering that you offer, and you will not fail to put the salt of the covenant of your God on your cereal offering. Interesting. God says that when you offer an offering of grain, you have to add salt. In Numbers, it says, Numbers 18, verse 19, this is a covenant of salt to last forever before the Lord. So it's interesting. They added salt to their offerings to God as a way to symbolize that their covenant was unbreakable. It was a symbol that said, we want to preserve this covenant with God just as salt preserves our food. And there was another use for salt in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 2. It says that Elisha went out to the spring of the waters and threw salt into it and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters and there shall be no more death or barrenness in them. So salt purifies from death and unfruitfulness. And this is why when I bless holy water, that I add salt to the holy water, so that I can kick out the death and the devil. So it's a really powerful metaphor, naturally speaking, and in sacred scripture. So if we apply the metaphor, it goes something like this. Just as salt adds flavor to food, so the Christian is supposed to add flavor to life. Just as salt preserves food from spoiling, so the Christian must preserve the covenant with God and keep that covenant from going bad. Just as salt melts ice or softens water, the Christian is called to melt away those with a cold, icy heart and soften their rough edges to receive the gospel message. Just as salt heals our wounds, so the Christian is called to be an instrument of healing in the world. Just as salt purifies the water, so the Christian is called to purify the world from the corruption of sin. And then we can ask the examination of conscience. Do you add flavor to your families, to your school, to your parish, to your workplace? Or are you instead really strong, bitter coffee or a sour lemon? Do you preserve your families from the corruption of sin? Do you preserve and help them to remain faithful to their baptismal covenant? Who at home or school or at work needs to have their hearts melted? Can you soften the minds of your spouse, your boss, of elected officials to have a greater attention toward the poor, the hungry, the immigrant, the child in the womb? Can you be the healing salt in your marriage? What in your life needs to be purified? You see, once again, the master teacher does all things perfectly. Salt is a very powerful metaphor. And here's one final reflection. As I was praying, I thought, you know, in order for salt to give flavor, it has to be dissolved. Right? And in order for salt to preserve the food, it has to be dissolved. In order for salt to melt the ice on my sidewalk or to soften the hard water in my house, it has to be dissolved. It has to undergo a substantial change when it hits the food or the ice. And so if Christians are going to be the salt of the earth, they have to be consumed. They have to be willing to be sacrificed in order for the power of salt to take effect. Just like Jesus. Because we know that Jesus is the perfect salt of the earth. He's the one who gives life meaning and flavor, because without Jesus, life has no flavor. There's no meaning. It's Jesus that preserves us and keeps us faithful to our baptismal covenant with his Father. It's Jesus who melts away from us all that is not true and good and beautiful. He heals and purifies us from the corruption of sin. And in order for Jesus to be our salt, he must be consumed and sacrificed on the hill called Mount Calvary. And so by his grace, we too willingly and joyfully sacrifice our lives for our brothers and sisters so that we can truly be the salt of the earth.